It's amazing how the Lord works. The song that we just sang, the first verse, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers, other life to bring? Who will leave the world side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? And that goes perfectly with what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning to speak on. We're going to be looking at the life, not the whole life, because we're not going to have time, but the highlights, or some of the highlights of his life, the life of Timothy. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. Does anybody know the meaning of the name Timothy? We probably have one in here. Very good. Honoring God. So we're going to see. We have a Tim here, and I figured he would know that. And I want you to think as we go through this, the lessons. I found several lessons, many lessons from this story that I learned from this story. So if you will, as we read through these verses and talk about the verses, try to think of some lessons that might apply to your own life. Acts 14, 8 through 20. This is just to give you some background information. This is Paul's first missionary journey when he visits Timothy's hometown of Lystra. This is about 48 A.D. And this was amazing to me. This is about 850 miles from Jerusalem. And I looked up the different ways that they get there. Most of it is probably walking. They may have had a donkey to help them take supplies and things like that, but it's probably take them months to get there. So that right there is a lesson to me that what Paul was willing to do, and then later Timothy and others were willing to do to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and indirectly or directly through the line, that's probably how we're here today, is because of people like Paul and Timothy. Acts 14, starting with verse 8. In Lystra there was a man who had been born with crippled feet and had never been able to walk. The man was listening to Paul speak when Paul saw that he had faith in Jesus and could be healed, so he looked straight at the man and shouted, "Stand up!" The man jumped up and started walking around. When the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they yelled out in the language of Lycaonia, "The gods have turned into humans, have come down to us." The people then gave Barnabas the name of Zeus, and they gave Paul the name Hermes because he did the talking. The temple of Zeus was near the entrance to the city. Its priests and the crowd wanted to offer a sacrifice to Barnabas and Paul, so the priests brought some bulls and flowers to the city gates. When the two apostles found out about this, they tore their clothes in horror and ran to the crowd shouting, "Why are you doing this? We are humans just like you. Please give up all this foolishness. Turn to the living God who made the sky, the sea, the earth, and everything in them. In times past, God let each nation go its own way, but He showed that He was there by the good things He did. God sends rain from heaven and makes your crops grow. He gives you food. He gives food to you and makes your hearts glad." Even after Paul and Barnabas had said all this, they could hardly keep the people from offering a sacrifice to them. Some of the Jewish leaders from Antioch and Iconium came and turned the crowds against Paul. They hit him with stones and dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. But when the Lord's followers gathered around Paul, he stood up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas went to Derbe. The background here that I'm wanting you to see, and it's not mentioned, so I just want you to perceive this. In this town, there was not that many Jewish people. So I'm coming to the conclusion on this first journey that there was a little boy here named Timothy, and that he probably heard what was going on, the commotion, the things that were going on about the man that was born with crippled feet, that was able to walk, Paul being stoned, they thought to death, but he got back up. And I thought that was something. Paul was a tough guy. where he was stoned, stood up, and he went back to the city. I was thinking to myself, if I would have gotten stoned, probably one rock, I would have been running. But he got stoned, dragged out, and he walked back into the city. So Paul was a tough guy, and was willing to, of course, to lose his life for the Lord. So the background of this is Timothy. This is Timothy's hometown, and even though his name is not mentioned in this chapter, that he was either there when this was going on or he heard what was going on. Okay, the second, this is about probably a couple of years later, 2 or 3 years later, Timothy was called to help Paul as Paul began his second missionary journey about 50 A.D. If you'll turn over a few pages to Acts chapter 16. This is where we're going to spend the majority of our time right here on these five verses. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul and Silas went back to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a follower named Timothy. His mother was also a follower. She was Jewish, and his father was Greek. The Lord's followers in Lystra and Iconium said good things about Timothy, and Paul wanted him to go with them. But Paul first had him circumcised because all the Jewish people around there knew that Timothy's father was Greek. As Paul and the others went from city to city, they told the followers what the apostles and leaders in Jerusalem had decided, and they urged them to follow these instructions. The churches became stronger in their faith, and each day more people put their faith in the Lord. First thing I want you to see here in verse 1, and the version that I had, I was having some trouble technology last night, but in your Bible, it is probably saying that Timothy was a young disciple. We don't know exactly how old he was. I've heard as young as 15, and then some people think it was 25, so probably a teenager or in his early 20s. One thing that you can see, later we'll read 1 Timothy 4:12, it was shown that don't let anyone make fun of you just because you are young. Set an example for others, followers, what you say and do, as well by your love, faith, and purity. This was when he was in Ephesus, probably around 15 years later. They were still calling him young 15 years ago, 15 years in the future. So we think that he was in his teenage years or early 20s. So he's a young disciple. Another thing that we see is about his mother and his father. His mother was a Jewish believer, but father was a Greek. I thought about this. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. So we can't say for certain that his father was not a believer, but the way it's shown here and his father's not mentioned after this, his father probably was not a believer. Or his father was passed away, was no longer there, because much is said about his mother and his grandmother and not his father. One lesson that I got from this, and we'll go through with some of the lessons and then come back at the end, was that God in his sovereignty may have chosen Timothy just because of that. Because his father was Greek, his mother was Jewish, and who better to be able to go and share the gospel with? They normally went to the Jewish people first, and then they would go to the Gentiles later when they went to a new city. And so Paul and God, I believe, picked this young man because of his birth, that he could relate to the Jewish people and to the Greeks. Next thing I was looking at, he was well thought of by believers in Lystra and Iconium. This Iconium was about 30 miles away, so we say, well, that was in maybe Greensboro, the south side of Greensboro. Today, it may not be that big of a deal, but in that day, that was probably at least a day or maybe a day and a half's walk to get to the other city. But those people in Iconium also spoke well of Timothy. in Proverbs 22:1, it says, "A good reputation and respect are worth much more than silver and gold." So Timothy, even though he was young, he had already gotten the attention of the believers there, the young believers, the new believers, I should say, in Lystra and Iconium. They had already taken notice of him being a strong disciple of the Lord. In just probably 2 years, he had already grown and people were recognizing him as being a strong believer. So this shows, I think, a lesson to the young people that even though you're young, God can use you no matter what age you are. People can take notice of you by the things you do, the way that you stand up for the Lord. And sometimes, I know when I was growing up, I would always kind of say an excuse, well, I'm so young, I'm going to let the older one do it. I'm so young, I'm going to let the older one do it. Finally, I'm getting to be one of the oldest, like at my school. So sometimes now, that excuse doesn't work as well as it used to. When you look around and all the other teachers are retiring and you're one of the oldest ones there. I was telling Jewel in between services, I have a student teacher this year, and she was asking about him. I said, well, yes, he's older than I am. And she kind of looked bright-eyed, said she couldn't believe that. I said, Jewel, you shouldn't have said that. But I know that that's the truth, that as I get older and we have people around us, that I look sometimes to the young people. We've got a young guy at school who's got a natural leadership quality about him, and he'll stand up in our FCA meetings and stand up and just lead it. And I've taken notice of that. So if you're a young person, don't use that excuse like I did. Stand up for the Lord and for His honor and glory. We see next that Paul wanted young Timothy to join him on his missionary journey. I've talked about this before. I think about our brother Jerry Denny on the Good News on the Move, how he invested those years with these young believers, these young men, and went out and kind of went on a missionary journey across the United States and into Canada, on how he invested his time in the young people. And that was a lesson that I'm trying to learn, is that we need to pour ourselves out into the young people, because we're going to be gone. If the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to be gone through death, and we got to leave a legacy here for someone else to spread the gospel. So I think it's important here, a lesson that Paul wanted young Timothy to go with him. Maybe he'd only been saved probably a couple years, so there was probably other people in Jerusalem that he could have taken. He did take some, but he probably could have got some other ones to go with him. But he chose to invest his life in Timothy and to raise him up as a disciple of the Lord. Another thing we see that was a lesson was Timothy was willing to go. If you look at Mark chapter 10. Mark 10:29-31, Jesus told him, "You can be sure that anyone who gives up home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or land for me and for the good news will be rewarded. In this world they will be given 100 times as many houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and pieces of land, though they may will also be mistreated. In the world to come they will have eternal life. But many who are now first will be last, and many who are now last will be first." And then in Matthew 28:16-20, Jesus' 11 disciples went to a mountain of Galilee where Jesus had told them to meet him. They saw him and worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came to them and said, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have told you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world." Not sure exactly how much of this Timothy knew, but I do know this, that Paul saw Timothy. He liked what he saw as far as him growing as a disciple. And then he asked Timothy, and then Timothy had a willing heart that he was ready to go. Could have been as young as maybe 15. And if that's the case, it's even more amazing that he was willing to leave his mom, his grandmother. Don't know about his dad. He was willing to take that leap of faith and go with Paul. And I'm sure that he heard or saw about Paul being stoned to death. He knew it wasn't going to be an easy road to take. And he was willing to make that step. This next one I thought was very interesting. Back in the first verse is where we started. In Acts 16, verse 3, and Paul wanted him to go with him, but Paul first had him circumcised, because all the Jewish people around there knew that Timothy's father was Greek. I thought this was kind of amazing. There's another story behind this I don't really have time to go into, but Paul had just came back from Jerusalem. They had this discussion with the Jewish leaders there. Titus, another one of Paul's co-workers in the gospel, was a full-blooded Greek. And some of the Jewish people said, well, he needs to be circumcised. And Paul said, no, he doesn't. So they got in some arguments, went back to Jerusalem, and they decided, Peter was there and the other apostles, and they decided, no, that we're not going to add anything to the gospel of Christ. Christ and Christ alone. So they came back. Paul's probably got these papers in his briefcase or whatever, his satchel, and he's going back through. He would go on a missionary journey to a bunch of different cities, start churches, and sometimes he would stay months, sometimes maybe even years. And then on his second journey, he would go back and check on them or send somebody to check on them. So he was going back through Lystra here, and for some reason here, even though he had just been through it, I don't know, months before, it took a while for him to get there from Jerusalem, he wanted Timothy to be circumcised. And I was thinking, if I was Timothy, I might have said, well, you didn't make Titus, why are you making me be circumcised? That's something that I don't want to do, but we don't hear Timothy saying that. The reason that there was a difference there, we've talked about it already, his mother was Jewish. His father was Greek, so he wasn't full-blooded Greek like Titus was. So in order to reach the Jewish people, if they would go into a city, they would normally go to the synagogue first, talk to the Jews. If the word got out, or somehow they said, are you Jewish? And the ones especially around there knew that he wasn't circumcised because his father didn't allow it. Normally it was when they were 8 days old they would be circumcised. His father was a Gentile. He did not allow him to be circumcised. So the Jewish people around that area knew that. So Paul was asking Timothy to be circumcised. And to me this just showed a commitment on how much Timothy loved the Lord, that he was willing to go through that. He didn't make excuses or say, well, I'll just talk to the Greeks then. No, he went through with it and went through this surgery, got circumcised so that he could reach the Jewish people. He didn't want to be a hindrance to the Jews from coming to Christ. And this goes along with, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul is writing here, talking about something very similar to this, and what his young follower, young disciple, follower of Christ, but also kind of following Paul in Paul's footsteps, 1 Corinthians 9:19. I am not anyone's slave, but I've become a slave to everyone so that I can win as many people as possible. When I am with the Jews, I live like a Jew to win Jews. They are ruled by the law of Moses, and I am not, but I live by the law to win them. And when I am with the people who are not ruled by the law, I forget about the law to win them. Of course, I never really forget about the law of God. In fact, I am ruled by the law of Christ. When I'm with the people whose faith is weak, I live as they do to win them. I do everything I can to win everyone I possibly can. I do this for the good news because I want to share in its blessings. So Paul here is writing to the Corinthians. He's saying, when I'm with the Jews, I'm like the Jews. When I'm with the Greeks, I'm like the Greeks. And then Timothy followed in the footsteps. In order to win the Jewish people, he was willing to go through this circumcision. Now I also want to show that when he was first dedicated to the Lord, that he was given a special gift. If you'll look at 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 1:18. The apostles in the early church, they were given the ability by God to perform miracles, to heal people, to cast out demons, to give certain gifts. In 1 Timothy 1:18, it says, Timothy, my son. The reason Paul is calling him his son, it's believed that Timothy is his spiritual son, that the reason that he was saved was because of the testimony, the witness of Paul. So Paul called him his son. Timothy, my son, the instructions I am giving you are based on what some prophets once said about you. If you follow these instructions, you will fight like a good soldier. Even before, it's not really recorded, we don't know much about it, but before Timothy was called, there was a prophet in the local church there that prophesied that Timothy was going to go out and be a witness like he was. The prophets talked about Timothy before this happened. And at this time when Paul is writing to Timothy, Timothy's a little bit discouraged. And he's trying to remind him that you were prophesied that you were going to be this leader. You were going to be a witness, an example to the churches, to the people, and lead churches. And he's reminding them of that fact. And then in 1 Timothy 4:14, he encourages Timothy again, use the gift you were given when the prophet spoke and the group of church leaders blessed you by placing their hands on you. So before he went on this trip, he received a gift. We don't know exactly what it was, the gift of teaching, the gift of leading, exactly what it was. I would say one of the gifts he had to have was teaching because he had to go out and make disciples of men. But it may have been some type of special gift even that you don't see so much today. Also, we see here that the group of church leaders there, they gave their blessing for him to go out. He was, some of them, you might think, well, he's too young, he shouldn't be going out. But they saw something in this young Timothy and they entrusted him to Paul and let him go out by laying their hands on him and blessing him. That made me think of the gifts that we as a body of Christ are given. If we could look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Thinking about the gifts that each one of us as believers have been given. Timothy had to be encouraged to use that gift. He had gotten through a kind of a depressing time. Things weren't going exactly like he wanted to. And Paul had to write him a note and said, remember the gift, remember the prophecy. He was even said in one verse, you need to fan the flame, you need to exercise that gift, and don't forget that gift. In Romans 12, verse 3, it says, I realize how kind God has been to me, and so I tell each of you not to think you are better than you really are. Use good sense and measure yourself by the amount of faith that God has given you. A body is made up of many parts, and each of them has its own use. That's how it is with us. There are many of us, but we each are part of the body of Christ, as well as part of one another. God has also given each of us different gifts to use. If we can prophesy, we should do it according to the amount of faith we have. If we can serve others, we should serve. If we can teach, we should teach. If we can encourage others, we should encourage them. If we can give, we should be generous. If we are leaders, we should do our best. If we are good to others, we should do it cheerfully. So this is reminding us, and as Paul's letter to the Romans is saying that we're all different. God's given different gifts to us all. There may be two people with the same gift, but it's talking about as a group, for the most part, people are given different gifts. Not all of us have the same gift. And this is, Paul is encouraging here that we're all different, that we shouldn't want another person's gift. We should praise the Lord for one person's gift, be thankful for the gift we have, and exercise our gift. Be thankful to the Lord for the gift we're given and use it to the best of our ability. And Timothy was being encouraged by Paul to use the gift that he had, to fan that flame, to not get discouraged. God has given you a gift. It was prophesied beforehand. So stand up, get back up, and use that gift. Okay, now this is where it's going to speed up. About the next 15 years, I wish I had time to go through it, but Timothy basically is going from city to city, making disciples, going, if there's a problem, going to a local church. Paul may say, well, I'm going here. Timothy, you go here and take care of this church. Tell the believers this. Take this with you and give this to them. Paul may be in prison. Timothy goes to his aides. Several of the books that he wrote in the New Testament, Paul wrote, it had Timothy's name in the front of it, that he was right there with him. So for 15 years, basically, Timothy was Paul's right-hand man. Whatever Paul saw that he needed to do, Timothy was there, and Timothy did it. He was very faithful. So I want to read a section that kind of summarizes these 15 years into one. It's not going to do the whole thing, of course, but it'll give you an idea. If you turn to Philippians 2:19. Philippians 2:19. This is Paul writing to the Philippians. And he could have said this to many other groups of believers. But this is the one time that's written down in Scripture. Philippians 2:19. I want to encourage you by news about you, so I hope the Lord Jesus will soon let me send Timothy to you. I don't have anyone else who cares about you as much as he does. The others think only about what interests them and not what about concerns Christ Jesus. But you know what kind of person Timothy is. He has worked with me like a son in spreading the good news. I hope to send him to you as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me. So this is a stamp of approval on Timothy from Paul, sending to the Philippians that he was hoping to send him to them when he made sure everything was okay where they were. He was going to send Timothy because nobody cared about him like Timothy. No one is as faithful and has been a faithful follower of Christ and cohort, co-worker with Paul than Timothy. They had a special relationship. He called him his son. Timothy learned the good news from Paul and was willing to go to the end of the earth, wherever he was, to prison, wherever he was. Timothy was willing to go and be with him. Okay, we're going to jump ahead, like I said, 15 years. And now Paul has left Timothy in Ephesus and says, you stay here. You kind of be the shepherd of this church here in Ephesus. They were having some problems there. He left him in charge. He heard that maybe things weren't going quite like Timothy was hoping. And so he wrote 1 Timothy. Paul wrote the letter to Timothy, which we call 1 Timothy. If you will, look at 1 Timothy Chapter 1, 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, so he's writing it directly to him, a true son in the faith. Here we see he's called him a true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So here we see that Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, and it's from these verses here and other verses in the two letters that were written that a lot of people say that Timothy was a timid man, that sometimes there would be a false teacher would come in and maybe Timothy wouldn't stand up against it. He wasn't built like Paul was. Paul would basically just get up in their face and he would tell them like it was. Timothy was a little bit more timid, and maybe he was letting things slide that he shouldn't. So here, Paul is encouraging him to not let that stand, that if things are said that are not the true doctrine, you've got to stand up against it. You've got to get them out or teach them that that's the wrong doctrine. They were talking about genealogies, things that cause disputes. They were having a lot of arguments in the local church there. And Paul is telling Timothy to not let that stand. You've got to stand up as a leader, and you've got to show them from a pure heart, still do it with love, good conscience, sincere faith, and show them where they've strayed. Let them know that this dissension, this false doctrine, cannot stand, and for the church to grow like it should. So basically he was telling them to root these problems out and to stand tall. A couple years later, many people believe that it probably helped for a time. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes you get discouraged, you hear something, you read something, someone gives you an encouraging word, and that helps for a day, a week, a month, a year. But then sometimes you can slide back into discouragement, depression, and you need someone to wake you up again. And I believe that's what's happening here a couple years later in 2 Timothy. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is probably just a couple years later that Timothy is written another letter. Another reason that many believe that this letter was written to Timothy is to give him, Paul's stamp of approval that yes, he is a fellow disciple. This is straight from Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Again, to Timothy directly, and he calls him again a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Stop right here for a minute. One thing that I think Paul was great at, that I think sometimes we as a general church believers, Paul was very good at checking back on. He didn't just lead them to the Lord and leave them. He would pray for them. He would come back and check on them. He would send somebody to see how they were doing. So that's something that kind of stood out to me, that when someone is saved, that that's not the end of it, that we should encourage them and help them to grow and pray for them. We see here that it says, I remember in you in my prayers night and day. So he didn't just say, will you stay here in Ephesus and you're on your own. He was there praying for him night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul wants to see Timothy again. He's like his own son. He wants to see him again. He's mindful of the tears. Probably when he left him in Ephesus, it's believed that Timothy started crying when Paul left. That's how close they were, like a father and a son. Maybe Paul kind of filled that void that maybe Timothy had, not having that father, that Christian father, when he was growing up. He was his father in the faith. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Here, I believe that he's trying to encourage Timothy, saying, I remember that faith, that genuine faith that is in you. It was in your grandmother, it was in your mother, and I'm persuaded is also in you. Evidently, Timothy may have lost some faith, was discouraged, and he's reminding him that, no, I saw it when you were a little boy. I saw that faith. It was in you. It's a true faith, Timothy. You can be strong. You have that strong faith. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I gave you that gift. God, through me, God gave you that gift. You've got to stir it up and use it. Whatever that gift is, whatever that gift I've got, whatever the gift you have, God wants us to stir it up and to use it, not to be downcast when things are not going right. Don't let the circumstances around us keep us from using the gift that God has given to us. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy was thrown into a tough spot in Ephesus. Things weren't going well. Paul is telling him, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Reminding him of his faith, his true faith. Reminding him of the faith that was in his mother and his grandmother, that it was true. He knows it's in you. You need to stir up that gift, get back to working, and use that power, that spirit of power of love and sound mind, not using a spirit of fear. I know sometimes when we're out, we want to be a witness. Sometimes we, at least myself, we're thinking about, well, what are they going to think? What are they going to think of me? And we can see here, obviously, Paul, he was of the mold. He didn't care. He was going to tell them about Jesus Christ no matter what. Maybe Timothy had some of that in him where he was concerned about what the others were going to say about him, was concerned about confronting someone when they taught the wrong thing. And Paul's trying to remind him that God's not given us that spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I think that's something that's good for me to remember, not to have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And then, to close, I would like to read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just to show you what a strong relationship they had. Paul was in Rome, and he knew that he was getting ready to probably be executed in Rome by Nero. And the last letter, he wrote many letters, the last letter that he wrote was to his son in the faith, Timothy. That's what a special relationship they had. And just to close, if you'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves they will heap up for themselves teachers. That kind of reminds me of today, how people don't want to hear the truth. They want to water it down and change it. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly. And even though he knows he's going to die, he's asking Timothy to come quickly to him. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed from Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I have with Carpus and Tros when you come. He was probably cold, getting ready to go through the winter. He wanted his cloak. And the books, especially the parchments. asking for his other books and writings. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lions. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Triumphorus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. We don't know if Timothy got to see Paul before he was killed. We would like to see that it ended with Timothy going to see Paul before that, giving him his coat, getting him through the winter, and getting to see him there. It was a long distance, and it's not recorded in the Bible, so it's just speculation if he got there to see him. I would like to think that he did, that he was able to tell his father in the spirit goodbye and thank him for what he had taught him to be a man of the Lord. In closing, I would just like to tell you some lessons that I learned from this story. Lessons we can learn from Timothy's story. Never too young to make a difference for Christ. If you have possibly an unbelieving spouse, or you are raising children without their father or mother to help you, pour God's word into their heart, like Timothy's grandmother and mother did for him. If you come from a bicultural family, God can use you to potentially reach more people. Pour Christ in your life into young people to reach future generations for Christ. When you reach someone for Christ, follow up with them to see how they are doing and encourage them. What are we willing to do to reach people for Christ? Timothy was willing to leave his family. He was willing to be circumcised. Paul was willing to die. It's believed that Timothy also died a martyr's death. Use gifts we are given by God to do His work. Be a faithful and loyal friend till the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing you've given to us. We thank you for recording the life of Timothy. We thank you for the way that you worked in his life as Paul mentored him and poured his life into him. I pray that you will help the young ones to be a Timothy. Help us, the ones that are older, help us to be like Paul and be willing to invest in them for the honor and glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.